Great job, Katie. Very nice job. Good morning. So good to see you all. Today is a very familiar parable of Jesus. You have heard many, many times. The message is based on the text, but today we are going to focus on the result of not forgiving. And I have learned in my short 64 years that it is common that people live with this hurt in their heart. In my humble opinions, I don't want to rush into the conclusion, but my conclusion is that everybody at some point in their lives is hurt and deals with this hurt one way or the other. And a lot of time it lasts very, very long. We want to learn from the parable that Jesus taught this morning and see why we need to forgive. Three engineers and three accountants were on board a train. "I can't believe how expensive my ticket was," said one of the accountants. "$50 for such a relatively short trip." "You should do what we do," said the chief engineer. "We three always travel together, but only buy one ticket. That way we pay a third of the price each." The accountant was puzzled. "But how do you get away with only buying one ticket? The ticket collector always comes round." "It's easy," said the engineer. "Watch this." At the first sign of the ticket collector, the three engineers huddled into a restroom and shut the door. When the collector knocked on the restroom door and called, "Ticket, please," a single arm held out one ticket. The collector stamped the ticket and went on his way. The accountant was impressed and, knowing a thing or two about money, decided that he and his two colleagues would try the same trick the next time they traveled together. So the accountant bought just one ticket between them. The engineers happened to be on the same train and, to the accountant's surprise, hadn't even bought one ticket. "You will never get away with that," said the accountants. "You wait and see," replied the engineers. When the ticket collector approached, both groups squeezed together in separate restrooms and shut the doors. Then one of the engineers knocked on the door of where the accountants were hiding and said, "Ticket, please." There is no free ride. Someone has to pay the price. This math is so rudimentary that anyone of any age can understand it. The biblical teachings use many math that are very easy as well. During the Old Testament period, everyone, rich or poor, was required to pay half a shekel for the atonement of their sins. In the New Testament, Jesus paid the ransom with his blood. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "You are bought with a price." Who paid the price? Jesus. Jesus' last word on the cross was tetelestai in Greek. Tetelestai in Greek. It is translated, as we know, "It is finished." Tetelestai is a term for accounting, which means paid in full. Paid in full. Jesus paid it all for our salvation. In the parable, Jesus used a principle of math to explain how he forgives and how we are saved. The servant owes so much that he could not pay back his debt, but his master graciously canceled his debt. The servant points to all the sinners who cannot redeem themselves. The only way to salvation was through the cancellation of debts by the master, that is to say, the forgiveness from the Lord. Peter asked Jesus if he should forgive 7 times. Peter was a very proud man. When he said 7 times, he indirectly implied how generous he was. In Jewish tradition, 7 is God's number. Number of completeness and perfection. God created the universe in 7 days. The Jewish calendar runs on units of 7. The 7th year is a sabbatical that even ground gets a break. 7 cycles of 7 years complete the cycle of half a century. Peter understood 7 as God's number. Therefore, the maximum he could forgive. In human terms, forgiving someone once is hard enough. 7 times put Peter on a pedestal of a sainthood. Peter, in a way, expected a compliment from Jesus. However, Jesus' answer was not 7 times, but 77 times. In the old version, revised standard version, it says 70 times 7. 70 times 7. In both translations, 70 times 7 or 770 means more than the number of God. Can there be a number more perfect than God's number? There cannot be. Apparently, using that numbers, Jesus put a very strong emphasis on the number of forgiveness. And traditionally, we interpret 77 or 70 times 7 as unlimited number. How is it possible for any of us to forgive anyone an unlimited number of times? No one can forgive endlessly. Is Jesus being so harsh in asking something that we cannot do? No, he is not. Look at a very persuasive rationale for forgiveness Jesus put in the parable. He says, if we do not forgive, we will be like the unforgiving servant sent back to prison for torture. What does imprisonment have to do with unforgiving heart? Imprisonment and an unforgiving heart share a remarkable resemblance. Imprisonment is the condition of confinement by choice. So is an unforgiving heart. The master canceled a massive amount of debts that the unmerciful servant could never pay back. The servant experienced mercy and could have been merciful to his fellow servant, but chose not to be. Instead, he justified himself, thinking, I went through all the blood, sweat, and tears. Why should I let go of hard-earned resources and see my friend enjoy his life freely? I'm not a perpetrator, but a victim. I have the right to justice. The servant acted on the social norm that we all know of and put his friends in prison. What the unmerciful servant missed, though, was the fact that his debts were canceled in the first place. So the story ends with the master putting the servant back in prison. Imprisonment and unforgiving heart found in the servant accurately describes what happens when people do not forgive. The past has passed, and no one can go back and fix what has already occurred. But unforgiveness constantly recalls unpleasant experiences and make people dwell in the painful past and relieve the hurt. Hatred and anger from their past are hurting them over again. And this is called a secondary damage, which should be avoided. But forgiveness persistently punishes not the one who has sinned, but the victim. Pain should be stopped at the first bruise instead of prolonging it and suffering the second and third time. Unforgiving heart hold on to the horrible past and prevent people from being healthy and productive. Consequently, unforgiving heart kills the joy of living today, and people cannot fully engage in what goes on in their lives. On the other hand, forgiveness liberates from the prison of the past filled with resentment. Forgiving means giving forward. It is not past-oriented, anchoring people to the past pain, but is future-oriented, which helps people forget what is behind them and move on. Forgiveness offers multiple and desirable benefits. Mayo Clinic conducted clinical studies and came up with the following health benefits of forgiveness: less anxiety, less stress, and less hostility. Fewer symptoms of depression. It lowers blood pressure and builds a more robust immune system. It improves heart health and boosts self-esteem. It promotes healthier relationship and greater spiritual and psychological well-being. You know, have you heard of that? There is a science of forgiveness. And this is the research is based on the science forgiveness. It's not just, oh, we just have to forgive, you know, because Jesus says so, but there is a science based upon that. Now, flip side of these benefits marks the destructive effects of unforgiveness. The unforgiving heart builds anxiety, stress, hostility, depression, and high blood pressure, and suppresses the immune system. It contributes to a bad heart condition and low self-esteem. It breaks relationship and weakens spiritual and psychological health. The list goes on. The unforgiveness robs happiness and adversely affects physical health. A study reports that painful memories can even cause Alzheimer's. Sometimes, but it happens, unforgiveness results in blaming and torturing the victim instead of the perpetrator. It is sad but true that victims with unforgiving heart often blame themselves instead of the aggressors. I mean, they don't want to do that, but that's what happened. And Jesus knew the effect of the unforgiveness. It kills us. And Jesus wants us to survive and live and move on. Gordon MacDonald experienced the destructive power of unforgiving hearts and shared history in restoring your spiritual passion. One memory that burns deep within is that of a plane flight on which I was headed toward a meeting that would determine a major decision in my ministry. I knew I was in desperate need of a spiritual passion that would provide wisdom and submission to God's purpose. But the passion was missing because I was steeped in resentment toward a colleague. For days, I had tried everything to rid myself of vindictive thoughts toward that person. But try as I might, I would even wake in the night thinking of ways to subtly get back at him. I wanted to embarrass him for what he has done, to damage his credibility before his peers. My resentment was beginning to dominate me, and on that plane trip, I came to a realization of how bad things really were. As the plane entered the landing pattern, I found myself crying silently to God for power both to forgive and to experience liberation from my poison spirit. Suddenly, it was as if an invisible knife cut a hole in my chest, and I literally felt a thick substance oozing from within. Moments later, I felt as if I'd been flushed out. I'd lost negative spiritual weight, the kind I needed to lose. I was free. I fairly bounced up that plane and soon entered a meeting that did, in fact, change the entire direction of my life. Jesus made a very solid case of the reasons why we should forgive. Who suffers more in the end? Ones with the unforgiving heart. The ones with the unforgiving heart usually are the victims, right? But the ones with the unforgiving heart suffers more in the end. Leaving freely out of prison by forgiving is always the better choice than confining oneself in the prison of the aching past by not forgiving. Yes, we forgive those who sin against us because we are forgiven by Jesus first. But we cannot deny unmistakable benefits of forgiving. And that's, to me, what Jesus was trying to point out. There's an unmistakable benefit of forgiving. Forgiving releases us from self-inflicted prison. It's by our choice, we go in there. Forgiving heals our brokenness. Let us forgive and set us free from the pain of the past that entangles us. Let the healing begin with forgiving, and let us live freely and fully today. Lastly, I'd like you to note what I found this phrase. I don't know who said it, but it says this. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover the prisoner was you. Okay, I'm going to say it one more time. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover the prisoner was you. Amen.